Welcome to Perspectives from WFSU Public Media. I'm Tom Flanagan. We are using the Zoom platform today to talk to a great panel of folks about economic development, which is not an unusual topic for us. We have been known to veer into that arena a lot here in the course of the program over the nearly two decades that I know I've been affiliated with it, but even before then, it was a regular point of concentration for WFSU. But in today's environment, of course, we have technology and an ever-advancing envelope of technology that we are leveraging in the course of building a more diverse community as far as the economy is concerned, and more job opportunities and a lot of other advantages that maybe some other places are not so well endowed. And we're going to talk about that today with an all-star panel, starting with the head of the Office of Economic Vitality for Tallahassee-Leon County, Christina Paredes. It is good to see you, Christina. How have you been surviving the current, adventure that we're all going through now?
Tom, it's great to see you, and thank you so much for having all of us on today to talk about the magnetic momentum of our community. We're really looking forward to the conversation today.
Well, what a setup that you have just laid out for one of the more magnetic personalities joining us here, literally as well as figuratively, Greg Bobinger, the head guy over at the National Highfield Magnetic Laboratory in Tallahassee, which a surprising number of people still do not understand is actually based here. Greg, it is a delight to see you. I see you are office-based, so you haven't been doing a lot of work out of the house. You've actually been at the lab then.
Well, if I turn off my virtual background, you'll see my dining room. So this is all show. At least the background is. The foreground's the real me. But we're doing well at the magnet lab, even with the COVID considerations. Still getting a lot of basic research done, and really excited about the progress that the Magnetic Task Force has made.
And you even did a virtual open house this year, which I thought was a fascinating way to pull that off. But still, it gets out the word that we have a facility here in this area that I think just about any other community would do felonious things to try to grab for themselves. But it is all ours. So we'll circle back to you momentarily and find out what else is on the agenda for the Mag Lab. Your neighbor, though, is right next door, and that is Ricardo Schneider, who is the head guy at Danfoss TurboCore, our preeminent manufacturing facility, and certainly preeminent in the high-tech field with world-class and very innovative compressors for HVAC systems and a host of other things. Ricardo, thank you for joining us today, and how's life at Danfoss nowadays?
It is a great pleasure to be with you guys, and I'm very happy to report that despite of the COVID situation, we have been keeping our activities running and producing the compressors to our customers globally. And actually, the pandemic has offered a growing platform through this digital environment that we all are living today. So the data centers and 5G, artificial intelligence is growing, and our product is one of the best technologies to cool data centers. So we have been really getting a good demand, and we are very happy to keep all employees work in a safe environment through the whole pandemic situation. And we never had any cross contamination in our factory. As we keep, let's say, about 100 people working from home. So we are doing great. And 2021 is looking even better. So we are super excited with the opportunities out there.
Good news all the way around. Thank you, Ricardo. Abby Quayle joins us as well. And Abby, talk about your organization and how that pulls into this overall topic of conversation, which is, again, the high-tech potential and reality here in the Tallahassee-Leon County area.
Yes, Tom, thank you so much for having us. I think this is perfect timing. We at MagCorp are sort of the new kids on the block, carrying out the mission that was established here by these fine folks on this panel before we came along in 2018. So I am pleased to report that in December 2020, we signed a Master Research and Intellectual Property Agreement with Florida State University that enables a new business model that we are not aware of any model like this in the country. So we are an asset that can be marketed as part of this region, because I think the worst thing that we could do is attract companies to Tallahassee, and then they hit some of the roadblocks that industry has expressed that they hit in working with universities and national laboratories.
Well, that brings us then full circle to Jeff Wallen from FSU. And Jeff, how do you number one, welcome. So good to see you, sir. How do you kind of mitigate the speed bumps? How do you lower those barriers to organizations like Abby's and potentially, you know, another Danfoss type organization coming into the area and going, all right, how do we partner with a major research university and other resources in the community to do what we do more effectively, more cost efficiently, all these sorts of things?
Thanks, Tom. I'm very pleased to be here with you all. And I just feel so personally invested in this effort that we've all put forth because having lived in our community for about 20 years now, it's just becoming overwhelmingly evident how much of an asset we are to the outside world and sort of what kind of groundwork we could lay for moving in better and bigger directions by the things that we do today. And I'm really happy that Abby is here to share the update for MagCorp. I think that's going to be sort of a pivotal foundation for us to work upon. And, you know, I wear lots of hats in our community, and you know, most of the time you can find me over at the Jim Moran College of Entrepreneurship as their STEM entrepreneur in residence. So, you know, I see a lot in terms of our ecosystem, not only for our students that are creating ventures, but also for so many of the stakeholders and partners who also see value in the assets that we have here. And I think that the focus that, and I really have to credit Ricardo and Greg heavily for having this vision early on, but the focus to leverage what is most unique about our community and coin it as a magnetic capital of the world, and really just sort of fully commit to leveraging that key aspect, I think is going to be a huge enabler in the future for getting deals done between FSU and MagCorp, things of that nature, but also, you know, tying directly in line with the Magnetic Task Force mission of literally bringing new businesses to our community and growing our own ecosystem and our own community in a really natural and organic way. So like I said, I've got a really big personal commitment to this as well. And I just feel like the foundations that we're laying right now, we're going to look back in 5-10 years and really say, wow, that made a difference. You know, that did move the needle for us.
A beautiful introduction to take us back to Christina to maybe comment on what has happened heretofore. And this is not just Tallahassee, Leon County, but many other places in the country as they have looked to expand their economic development potential, took kind of a scattershot approach that, hey, we have some of this, we cut some of that, and maybe if we put it together like a gumbo or a soup of some kind, other outside businesses and industries will become attracted. It sounds like what we're doing now, though, is different in, as Jeff said, putting together a magnetic task force that it will position us as this is going to be our keystone. this is where we are coming from, and we can leverage this one specific area in very creative and overarching ways to get what we really need in this community. Is that where we're coming from now?
Oh, absolutely, Tom. I really like how you set that up, and Jeff did as well. You know, our Office of Economic Vitality is 5 years old this year. And very early on, we set out a vision to map our long-term economic development strategic plan. And, you know, having the passion and a champion such as Ricardo Schneider to lead us and encourage us to be focused specifically on the assets that we have here to grow our community is really paying off. We have formed the Magnetic Task Force, and we have three of our members here today. Ricardo is the chair, Greg and Jeff serve on that. And you know, being focused in specifically on recruiting and research opportunities is key to a lot of the success that we'll see. And you know, it's gonna take us time. This isn't going to be something that we're going to have five companies next year show up, but wow, the progress that we have made as a result of all of us working together and driving and continuing to raise awareness in this. I believe the organizations like MagCorp is going to really help us harness the industry research that we've all agreed on as a task force is very important, complemented by the work of OEV to recruit businesses from outside and assist businesses such as Danfoss to expand as well, is going to be a really dynamic working relationship with a lot of synergies in those areas. We're starting to see the community also come on board with a lot of this. One of my favorite collaborations is Deep Brewing Company has stepped out there and brewed the electromagnetic beer, playing off on all of our different types of initiatives here, the Florida Bitter Plate, which you know Greg can talk more about, using that as part of it. And then we even had Divvy Up Socks and Target Print and Mail and Slide Hustle come together and help us promote that this year. So you can see the synergy around Tallahassee being the magnetic capital world really start to evolve. And a lot of that credit goes to everybody on this call today for being hyper-focused and building that, and many others too, because, you know, Tom, as I say, economic development is a team sport, and it really takes all of us working together and rowing in the right direction.
Well, you kind of kicked it over to both Ricardo and Greg, but Greg, let me start with you here, because the function of the National High Magnetic Field Laboratory is in the realm of research. How much of the activity that you've had at the Mag Lab historically has been commercial entities? We know about academics and those folks who are doing the pure research, right? But to have a company like a Danfoss TurboCore or a MagCore come to you and say, hey, we're working on a concept right now, but we need your horsepower to prove it, to see if it is viable. Do you get a lot of that kind of business at the Mag Lab?
It comes in ones and twos, frankly. And, you know, the Magnet Lab was founded in 1990, and the user program opened in 94. And really, our main goal, as you mentioned, is the basic research. So we're very proud that we were one of the attractors to bring Danfoss TurboCore to Tallahassee, and we've certainly worked with them on some problems of mutual interest. But we, from our perspective, don't have the experts in commercializing, and our folks who have an entrepreneurial bent often don't have the business knowledge or the connections to have a real impact. And so there's this valley of death, if you will, as it's often described, between the research and then the technology. And what we're seeing with the establishment of MagCorp is there's a company that's getting busy finding the problems that industry faces, knowing the Magnet Lab well enough to then help put those pieces together. So it's not just a serendipitous accidental thing, it's an intentional activity by folks who are focused on that as their primary raison d'etre.
Okay, well, let's go to Abby first and then Ricardo. How important was having the MagLab here in Tallahassee to the decision of the powers that be at MagCorp, Abby, to locate here? Was it, we got to be there because this facility is just in close proximity, and that really helps our organization?
Yes, absolutely. This is the emerging magnetic capital of the world, as Jeff and Christina mentioned. We are actually a direct spin-out of the Magnet Lab. So I was formerly the patent attorney at Florida State University, working in commercialization. Jeff is a former MagLab scientist. And Leslie Richardson, who's not on the panel today, is still at the MagLab as well. And she has a background in research administration. So what we decided to do was actually spin out this activity because we were all actually in it together at the university at one point for the better part of a decade, actually. And, you know, we would, these roadblocks that I mentioned before, first being the intellectual property. A lot of companies and industry won't even write a check to the university for a research project unless they know they have all of the rights to the intellectual property. The university wasn't akin to accepting research funds if they weren't going to own all the intellectual property. So what we looked at is actually splitting the pie. The business community splits the pie all the time, right? We split up MagCorp because we, each of the founders brought their expertise and a certain value to the company. Academia splits the pies when funding agencies want to see multi-institutional, multidisciplinary research. So I don't know how it came to be, but it seems like when it came to universities and industry collaborating, splitting the pie just wasn't a part of the conversation. And again, my background as a patent attorney, we found that if you look at the actual patentable, the definition of what is patentable, a patentable invention, it has to be new and it has to be useful. Well, the Magnet Lab has the new part down pat. Industry has the useful part and a market for it down pat. So it made perfect sense to split the intellectual property just from a legal standpoint, because now you have a more valuable pie, which is why pies are split in the business community and academia. So we, you know, had experience getting tomatoes thrown at us by industry when they would come and visit. This is not unique to the MagLab or Florida State University. This is very typical for university industry collaborations. I just want to put that out there. So we had the tomatoes thrown at us and we said, you know, there's got to be a better way to do this. And just going on into the intellectual property, the actual scientists really enjoyed it because now they can breathe a sigh of relief that they don't have to worry that they might get in trouble for disclosing an idea that they have without getting in trouble by the university. Because there's a Supreme Court case, and I can talk about this forever, Stanford v. Roche, where Stanford University actually lost valuable intellectual property. So this is also another problem that MagCorp solves, is that now if you split the intellectual property ahead of time, according to the value each party brings, the actual scientists at each entity can collaborate in a truly collaborative environment because they're not worried about who owns the rights if a project's even started in the first place.
That makes
sense. So MagCorp comes in because you have the stadium, right? That's the MagLab, and you have the playing field. So MagCorp came up with the playbook and the X's and O's of how you actually get everyone to work together as a team.
Oh, lovely metaphor. Now we understand, Abby. That is that makes it perfectly accessible to figure out just how this goes. But that is one of the holy grails, of which we apparently have several, which is to take research that is academically based, in this case at Florida State University, and commercialize it, monetize it, turn it into a revenue stream. The other part, though, is coming from the outside, which is where a company like Danfoss TurboCore comes in. And Ricardo, I recall the day there was the groundbreaking for the original Danfoss TurboCore structure, and we had folks from the MagLab who were just tooting the horn that this is the reason that the company came down from Canada to locate in Tallahassee, Florida, because of the proximity to the MagLab. Does that remain true today? Is it helpful to have Greg Bobinger and his staff literally a stone's throw away from your factory?
Absolutely. Let's say, if you look at our core technology, is highly dependent from magnetic science. So we are the largest magnetic band company in the world today. let's say, and we use the technology to active magnetic bearings to levitate a shaft that is stay on the magnetic field to eliminate friction and eliminate losses of energy. But our motor technologies are also applying permanent magnetic technologies that makes electrical motors very, very efficient. So to us, so let's say, being closer with the largest magnetic source of knowledge, the largest infrastructure in the world, it is a vital tool to advance our technology. And since these early days in 2006, when 2007, when we moved here to Tallahassee, the company has been really taking significant steps to advance the technology and build more relationship with the Florida State University, for example, the Air Propulsion Lab. Because another part of our mechatronic solutions is integrating high advanced, let's say, aerodynamics. And a lot of things that you do in jet engines, you can simulate here in the labs. Power electronics, we have, let's say, a huge infrastructure in town with the power electronics. So for us to keep innovation strong, to keep innovation advancing our business, we needed to create this very close and strong network that we can interact with the people in the labs. We can talk with the expert matters, and we can learn from each other. So we have a great community here in terms of bringing all this kind of networking between the scientists, the people that are applying the science, and the people that are looking beyond the normal industry horizons, because we are on a business to bring these solutions to the communities to save energy. But we needed to rely on the advance of the technologies. And today, with the problems that we have to solve in CO2 reduction and a decarbonization of our societies, we need to work very close. The industry and the universities and researchers, we have a big challenge in front of us. So it's very important to stay very close and to stay unified around this. And here in our community, this magnetic ecosystem, it is growing. And I think that is moving in the right direction. So should be a little bit faster. We are all trying to speed up this. But I think that we are making good progress. And I think it is the benefit for our community, benefit for the industry, and benefit for the whole society. I think that's great.
All right. Jeff, how do you speed that up, as Ricardo said? It sounds like this critical mass is fantastic, but you have to make it, you have to promote it, and Christina will talk to you about that too. But from the university standpoint, how do you get the word out that anyone who is looking for this kind of basic resource infrastructure for whatever they have in mind, we got it here?
So, Tom, I think that's a great question, because that's kind of the big challenge, I think, in any community. And if we look at other cities and other regions, we see all different kinds of strategies that were employed for trying to achieve those goals. And, you know, this is really just my opinion, but I feel like one of the most important things that we're achieving right now through the efforts of the Magnetic Task Force, through the emergence of MagCorp coming to be, through the longstanding history of the Mag Lab being here and continuing to be a forefront leader, and OEV being on the team here, I think that what we're actually doing is we are creating a deep-rooted culture. It's not just sort of like a single flyer or a banner or a saying. And I mean it as a deep culture. It's not just a wide little shallow pool, right, where everybody's kind of alone doing their own thing, and we don't really have these chains that lead us down into the depths. I feel like what we're doing in our community right now is we're building the depth of this pool. And part of that is certainly related to, you know, the activities that we do now for the people that are here right now, for our business leaders in town, for our researchers in town, for the universities, all three of the big ones here in town. There's that aspect, but you know, the question becomes, well, those have been here a long time. So why, what changed now? What's any different now? And I think that a lot of that is what we are doing looking forward. And I see that as two prongs of looking forward. On one prong, we're talking about organizations and individuals who are not yet a part of our ecosystem, right? And these are, in a lot of cases, especially in the recent years, these are clients that MagCorp is working with and bringing to the table and suddenly having a method of engagement with the Mag Lab and with our culture that just really wasn't there before. So it's almost, Abby uses this term really frequently, it's like a concierge now, right? So I arrive in the Tallahassee and now I have a concierge to that culture and that community that wasn't there before, where I kind of had to like go into the jungle and navigate myself and hope that I meet the right person and hope that I say the right thing. Now Abby's sort of able to talk to those outside individuals and organizations in a way that it's clear they're not going to be paving their own path through a jungle of uncertainty. You know, Abby's here with the torch, you know, being able to light the way and say, here's the pathway. You know, it's actually not too bad. And, you know, I really think that other prong here is retaining the talent and the individuals that come through our community at the university. And this is something I push really hard with my students, but this is one of the most optimal places that these young people could ever imagine to start their businesses. But so many of them fail to see it for some reason or another. And I think that part of that culture of us all existing, having these types of conversations, doing the types of things that we do out there is able to show this next generation that there's opportunities here in our pool that really aren't around in other options that they might have, be it bigger cities or smaller towns. So I think, you know, that's a long-winded answer on my end in terms of how do we get to there? How do we move forward here? And I think we're doing the right things. And as long as we continue to focus on building the culture of our community, I think that naturally those types of successes are in the near term future.
Okay. Greg, I thought I saw your hand go up there. Go ahead.
Yeah, I like the concierge metaphor that helps to convey the friendliness of the environment to businesses that might want to relocate here. But I want to go back and reemphasize a point that Abby made to make sure that it's not missed. What we have, and I thank the Florida State University and MagCorp for working hard to reach this agreement, what we have in place already settles some of the legal decisions that would take months or even a year to settle. So a company that wants to come to Tallahassee, they're free to work with the city, they're free to work with whomever they like. But if they would like to work with this new mechanism that MagCorp and Florida State University have partnered with, this memo of understanding, then much of the legal wrangling at the front end has been settled. And so you can get busy on business at the speed of business rather than worrying about whether your nascent idea is a billion-dollar idea that you've got to lock up it with a chain and a padlock, and you kill the whole initiative right at the beginning. And one of the remarks that Ricardo made, and he could perhaps reiterate more articulately than I, is that these days, intellectual property is certainly valuable, but speed has become the more dominant factor in making economic progress and in succeeding. And so this agreement that Florida State University and MagCorp have reached is what enables speed to happen here in the Tallahassee area, the magnetic capital of the world.
So, Ricardo, it's like speed and time literally is money.
Yeah, the industry has been changing. As you can see, universities are changing because in the past, it was very important to retain patents, and the patents will protect the business for 20 plus years. And these days, let's say, it is very important to the speed of innovation. Companies are giving away patents. Universities have to be adapted to this, because if you want to change, we need to change quick. So let's say patents are becoming, in some way, in some cases, less relevant. It's important to protect. It's important to make sure that countries and companies, people protect and respect patents. But the speed is becoming even more important. So let's say the changes that we see today in the industry, in the world, the pandemic is going to even accelerate technologies. So technologies have been kind of in a standing position, are going to be accelerating rapidly. We'll see a major transformation coming after the pandemic through technologies. Technologies are going to be accelerating in a speed that we never ever seen before. So we needed to adjust the relationship between universities, the industry, the private sector, the public sector. Speed is very important. And I think that that's what we needed to understand, that this vision that we put together for this magnetic ecosystem, speed is actually one of the major focus points that we need to have.
Well, Christina Paredes, this kind of turns the conventional wisdom on its head, whereas before it was, who can give you the best tax breaks? Who can make land available for your factory? Who can do all these other things? And here, this is a much more subtle, but it sounds like more important kind of infrastructure that you're putting in place to attract new business and industry, whether it's homegrown or imported from somewhere else.
You're right, Tom. Absolutely. That speed that both Greg and Ricardo mentioned is key. We have seen that in projects that we've dealt with specifically in this cluster. And it is a comfort level to both our organization and the industry to be able to turn this over to MagCorp and be able to have a lot of those agreements already ironed out. So they are first in. So that works wonderfully with us. You mentioned land, but speed also is regarding to the land and the importance to work with partners such as Innovation Park to be able to have sites that are ready to be built on. And that means expedited permitting by working closely with the city and the county for that, and ways that we can help that business get to producing a product so that they can turn that out. That it's all very important. And we most recently, in order to continue to highlight the assets at Innovation Park, we worked with the Leon County Research Development Authority to take a virtual tour of the assets of the park, what types of buildings could be built on their vacant land there, and as well as what's available as far as in their current buildings. And using this type of visual marketing to market Tallahassee, Leon County as the magnetic capital of the world and attracts that attention in. Another very key aspect that's going to help us continue to grow in applied sciences and manufacturing is the recent announcement of the North Florida Innovation Labs, having the EDA come in with $10 million match to help build a brand new incubator lab to help support the entrepreneurial efforts of the universities is really, really important. And then on the other side, when you look at it from a company standpoint, we formed the Big Bend Manufacturing Association to help support our manufacturers in the area from both workforce and trade and best practices on that end. So all of these components all are pulling together to really help create a true ecosystem for magnetics and push that momentum forward.
And to reemphasize the necessity to think in an entrepreneurial fashion when it comes to the new laboratory at Innovation Park. You went out and hired Bill Lixon from Domi
yes.
Station.
Yes.
So he
great
knows.
Move, Bill.
Yes, he knows something about entrepreneurship, that's for sure. Abby Quayle, let's talk about MagCorp, though. What is the vision for this particular company? You've got the legal and the other, the paperwork infrastructure in place and all that, but what is the vision for the company? What are you guys actually going to do with all of these wonderful resources that are available to you?
That's a perfect question, Tom. So we have big visions for MagCorp. We are going to be seen as the technology development partner and the corporate arm of the Mag Lab for magnetically enabled technology. So think of consumer products. As Greg mentioned before, there is this, there's this valley of death, this gap, we call it in technology transfer, where basic discoveries are looking for a use. And then there's folks that are already in the marketplace that are looking for new tech. So we are going to be the technology development partner for magnetically enabled consumer products.
You are the facilitators for this entire vision then, huh?
Correct. This way industry, if there's someone that is having a trouble with their production line that uses magnetics, if there's a new product that they want to magnetically enable now and say generation 2.0 of their product, you call MagCorp. So you talk to one person. Right now it's me. Hopefully one day we'll have an army of folks. You call one person that is now your concierge. We call ourselves the Magnetic Concierge, who can get things done. So a lot of the legal terms are already settled, but we are already contracted into the university, so we can get your research project started right away.
Greg Bobinger, this is the dream that you have had for many, many years, not just the pure research that is being done at the Mag Lab, but how to take that research and then turn it into new products and services and a whole revenue stream, hopefully on the local level, but even going international. Right. This is kind of what you guys were set up to do, not just the esoteric, oh, we bring in scientists from all over the world and they take the ideas back home and they make money off of it. I mean, this helps to also sustain facilities like yours.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, we get substantial investment from the university and from the state, and we certainly want to return that in every way possible, from helping to grow local industries to you know, high-paying jobs and stimulating the local economy. So we feel that we've been successful to date, to be sure, but there's always more opportunities, particularly when you've got scientists who have a really nice result, a really nice idea, but they don't have the time or wherewithal to take on the 10 problems to commercialize it. And they're more than willing to work extra hard nights and weekends to work on the technical side of commercializing it, but they just really don't have the time to get the business knowledge behind them to do the business side. So I've had a number of scientists tell me already that, and some of the ones that actually had spinoff companies, they would get a grant, they would set up a shop, they'd start manufacturing, and then you know they'd realize that it was just more than they could do, and they wanted to keep one foot in research. So the way I look at it is, you want to get the smartest people you can. You want to have them understand and have you understand what are their skill sets and what is it that really gets them going and moving 100 miles an hour and 100 hours a week. And then you want to put the jigsaw puzzle together. You don't want to go to a single person and say, okay, you've got to take this idea from research cradle to commercialization because that's the only way there is. You want to say, okay, those are the three things you like to do. Let me find somebody else who likes to do the next two steps, and then somebody else who likes to do the final three steps, and put them together. And I think that's what we've got with the collection of folks here and the growing community around this magnetic capital of the world theme.
One part of the community we have not referenced yet, and we will be very, very delicate and circumspect on this because we are in the middle of the legislative session, which is now deciding the fiscal fate of so many organizations, including higher education. But Jeff Whalen, that sounds like this is also an opportunity there, with the emphasis that we're seeing amongst many lawmakers and certainly Governor DeSantis and many other folks when it comes to jobs, economic development, bringing in new business and industry and making Florida a seething hotbed of commerce. This is the same vision that those folks have. It just has a few more moving parts to it, right?
Yeah, and I think it also brings a level of specificity in terms of, you know, our community opportunities for job creation and new organizations. that other communities kind of have this. And I talk to my students a lot about sort of other cases that we could look at where we say, how have these other communities been really successful in these types of metrics? And, I think maybe the most recognizable one for most people in the United States is you think of software ventures and jobs in software. And most people think of Northern California and they've coined themselves as Silicon Valley. That happened a long time ago. And I think that identification of the community with the types of opportunities that are around, that's really important. And it's something that our community is starting now to really identify with. And if you shine that type of light on it, you say, well, actually, in a community like ours, striving for job creation really shouldn't also have that splatter approach. We should have a lot more focus there as well. And I think that, for us, it's very exciting proposition to think about what it looks like in our community, given that we are so focused on magnet technology and magnet science. That brings about a very specialized group of people to fill those needs, very specialized type of organization, where what gets me really most excited about our potential for success is that we're not emulating another existing community out there. If I'm an expert in magnet science and I start to Google search where I could go, Tallahassee already sort of is that bright hotspot. So now we sort of pour gasoline onto that fire and really get it roaring and say, no, we identify with this, that we know that this is what defines us and makes us unique. I think that we'll start to realize that, even though other communities where, for example, they may have tons of job opportunity at entry level, and our community maybe has fewer jobs at a higher technical level, still at the end of the day, whenever we calculate this and we say, is this number of jobs or what's the average wage for people or what's the average revenue for the organizations that come to these areas, I think that in many respects, we present a really compelling business opportunity for both job seekers in the workforce and organizations that can serve as employers, because of that specialty, because of that sort of personality that we have and we identify with, and now, especially as of late, have really started to embrace.
But that's the last supportive piece of this infrastructure. And Ricardo, if I can ask you, you had already mentioned that there is going to be a technological explosion fueled by the pandemic and many other factors as well. There's a lot of anti-China sentiment out there. There will be a continuing push on the part of policymakers to try to bring about more domestic industrial production. Does Danfoss TurboCore have the people it needs to pull this off, not only in the top echelon of research people working over at the Mag Lab and in a cooperative way, but also the line employees who make this happen, who put together those pieces of hardware that you folks sell all over the world? Do you have the folks you need to make that happen, or do we need to do better in this?
That's a good question. And I think a part of what we are doing here today is to making Tallahassee more attractive to people that is out there. So part of our challenges are to keep growing our pool of talents. So FSU, TCC, and FAMU became a very important part of our source of engineers and technicians. So 25% of our engineering task force today is coming from FSU and FAMU engineering school. So we have a great pool of talents in town. We recruit people globally. We have 29 different nationalities here in our factory in Tallahassee, because innovation comes from diversity. So people are thinking differently. So we always have a lot of focus to develop our own people and to bring the best people that we can bring from any country to advance our business. And let's say recently we have been much more successful because there's a better coordination with our local community. Our HR group is doing a great job to bring people. We have today more than 16 open positions And it is not easy to hire people in these days, but I think that we are getting better, more successful, and work with our community has been a great help to create this pool of talents. Because manufacturing and research and what we do in terms of development, let's say it's a very different concept compared to what used to be manufacturing companies. So it's a lot of automation. It's a lot of more, let's say, high-skilled people, clean environment. Let's say if you go to our factory, let's say it's absolutely a good place because it's not a traditional manufacturing type of sites that people have this perception about manufacturing being dirt, being dark. So it's a high-tech manufacturing. It's a very different kind of... And I think that, as you said, let's say, the world is coming with the fast of change that nobody has seen before. So what I call the green transformation. So people want to start after the pandemic with a different kind of approach to how we are going to use energy, how we are going to generate energy, how we are going to deal with green technologies. And a lot of these green technologies are depending from magnetic science. If you think about electrical vehicles, high-performance PM motors, permanent magnetic motors. So if you think about windmills, if you think about a lot of this technology is heavily depending on magnetic science. So I think that we'll see a lot of more people coming here because it is needed. And industries like Danfoss and Danfoss Turbocore, we see this early enough to be closer to this ecosystem and grow this ecosystem. And I think more company will come because this is a trend, a mega trend that is not going to change. It's there and it will continue to be.
What a positive and uplifting assessment. Folks, we only have a few minutes remaining. Let me just go around quickly. Give everyone about 1 minute apiece, if we could, just to share any final thoughts that you might have. Abby, let's start with you, please.
Sure. No, we're excited. Again, we're the new kid on the block, and we're excited to do the blocking and tackling and get things done.
There we go. Jeff Whalen, any thoughts from you in that regard, sir?
Yes. Appreciate the time today to share. If anybody out there hears this and, you know, feels inspired and wants to get plugged into this movement and really become a part of this community, always consider me an open invitation to have that discussion. And I just feel like in so very many ways, this is such an exciting time and really the dawning of a new day. So I hope that everyone out there listening to this can share in that excitement and really feel that newfound energy.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Craig Bobinger from the Mag Lab, your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, there's two revolutions on the scientific front relevant to this conversation. One is high temperature superconducting materials. So these would be magnets that would have commercial applications in power industry. And the other is in extra powerful permanent magnets, in particular magnets that do not use rare earth elements, for which the market has largely been cornered by China in recent years. And so there's increasing interest in doing research to use nanoscale properties. So cutting edge research at the scale of individual atoms and molecules to get better magnetic properties on the macroscopic scale in completely new materials. So two major research revolutions.
And I suspect we have a local facility who is also on the cutting edge of figuring a lot of this stuff out, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, and incredibly talented people who walk through that door of that facility.
Thanks so much, Greg. Ricardo Schneider, your turn, sir.
Yeah, my thought is that, let's say, thank you very much for this opportunity, because we need to make every member of this community an ambassador of this magnetic ecosystem. So you're making a great help to educate people about what we have in town. A lot of people don't know what we have in town. So we have the largest magnetic lab in the world, and we have the largest magnetic bank company in the world here in Tallahassee. So I think that the first thing is to have, let's say, this vision that we all have put together. The detail is how to execute it. I think MagCorp is one of the example of the execution of the strategy. The vision is there. The strategy is there. It's our job now, the community, to execute the strategy and to make it happen. So I'm very excited to have this opportunity to chat with you guys. And this is going to take off, and I'm super excited. And this community is great, supporting the businesses, supporting technology and education. We cannot have a better place to be. So,
well put, Ricardo. Thank you so much. And that throws the ball back to you, Cristina Paredes, as kind of the lead person in advocating for our community, not only locally, but also nationally, even internationally. No pressure, right?
I love what Ricardo said. The vision is there. We do. We have the vision. And we're, like I mentioned earlier, we're all working together at the support of the Magnetic Conference or a Magnetic Task Force, our EVLC Leadership Council, the support of the city and the county commission to all to focus and double down on magnetic recruiting in this area. This is going to be our game changer. It's going to what makes North Florida as an entire community and Tallahassee, Leon County being that anchor point of the magnetic capital of the world. So I just encourage all of you to come and just to discover the attraction and learn a little bit about the Mag Lab, learn a little bit about Danfoss, and you know, then use MagCorp as a great way to help harness industry research for our community. And then we here at the Office of Economic Vitality will continue to promote our community as the magnetic capital of the world.
Cristina Paredes, Jeff Whalen, Greg Bobinger, Ricardo Schneider, and Abby Quayle, thank you all for being part of this fascinating and really positive, uplifting discussion today on Perspectives. We sure appreciate it. Perspectives produced by WFSU Public Media in Tallahassee. Thanks going out to Taylor Cox, Paul Dam, Amy Diaz de Villegas, Brandon Brown, Tricia Moynihan, and Lydell Rawls, our director of content, Kim Kelling, executive producer, and I'm Tom Flanagan. Next week's program, we are going into the advocacy business for children. In fact, there is a Children's Advocacy Center. We will be talking with some of the leading lights of that organization and what they are up to as we continue our series of programs here on Perspectives from WFSU Public Media. Take care.
For more information about Perspectives and to hear previous episodes, visit WFSU.org.